We're in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6. Open up to chapter 6 in Matthew. Chapter 6 in Matthew. We have traveled a lot quicker through chapter 6 than we did chapter 5. We are about 22 sermons into the Sermon on the Mount, but it speeds up now. And we hit a portion of text that I really think has set itself up for a great review a bit to get to the basic principles of what it's talking about. But before we start, I want to ask a question. What is the wisest thing anyone has ever told you? Now, you don't need to yell it out, but if you think through your life, whether it came from a parent, a college professor, a high school professor, a friend, somebody that just spoke truth into your life, a pastor, anybody, what is the wisest thing? What is some of the wisest things somebody has ever said to you? And I say that to say, I look at my life and I was thinking, and one of the things that has stuck with me since I was a young man was my dad always instilled in me that even as a young man, I need to be saving 10% towards retirement. Don't wait till you're 40 or 50. Start right away. Make the practice of right away saving for retirement. And that means a lot, particularly for a pastor, because we don't have the kind of companies that, you know, whatever you're going to save, you're going to save. It's not going to come from a company. And so it was really very wise words, and it's something that I've stuck with. And it's just one of those, that's something that's always been ingrained in me, and I always remembered it. And so that was a wise thing. Another one was thinking back in my wife and my marriage, one of the things that her grandma said to us when we first begun fighting, actually, I don't think she said it to me, I think she said it to Shelly, and eventually I heard it from Shelly, was that she said, pick your battles. When we got married, everything was a fight at first, and it seemed like it was the most important. You got to fight, and I'm winning, and you know, and then you kind of realize, no. What's worth fighting for? What's worth letting go? And she mentioned that, and I think it's one of those, right in the beginning of our marriage when we, you know, two people come together, didn't know what's about to happen, and the fireworks go off, it was one of those wise things, and I had to ask myself, is this worth fighting for? You know, and it's got ingrained, those great wise words. If you're going to survive in marriage, you got to know there's going to be fights, but what's worth fighting for? Not everything should be a fight. And so those are wise words, and when I was reading this text, I really felt Jesus is giving us some of the wisest words you could ever receive. Now, keep in mind, as I'll say in the back portion of our sermon, it comes from the eternal God who knows all things, literally dwelt in heaven, dwells in heaven, as well as in us. But God, who knows, he knows what's coming because he is, as we sang, the I am, before and after, and he knows all things. And he tells us, after all the sermon stuff we've been going through in the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us some wise words we need to listen to. It would behoove you to heed the words of Jesus. Well, here's what he says. And he goes into the text, verse 19 through 24, and he says this, "Do not lay up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We're going to get back to that. Verse 22, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will have the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Church, Jesus comes and he gives us wise words. And I want to do this, and you see it obviously in your sermon notes. I want to revisit some of our sermon series. Jesus has given us some difficult things throughout this period. I want to remind you in chapter 4, as we're going in chapter 5, Jesus says this was the crux of Jesus' teaching. The core of Jesus' teaching is what we've just gone through. So what were the things that Jesus was consistently, when he went into different places, what was he teaching? Well, we're studying the crux, the core of Jesus' sermons throughout his time in ministry. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is. He did a lot of ministry. He did a lot of miracles. He did a lot of things. But this is the core of his teaching, which we're studying. And so he began with the Beatitudes, which is wise. I love that Jesus says this, because here's the deal. Before you get to any ethical teaching or to religious duties, there has to be a change in your heart. And God knows that. If your heart doesn't change, it doesn't matter what ethical teaching you teach. It's not going to matter until the heart changes. Until you want to worship God and obey God and it's genuine, you want to do it, you're never going to actually do the ethical teaching unless the heart is changed. So Jesus begins with the Beatitudes, and we went through 8 different sermons of this, but he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." And we see verse 12, it says this, and this is all in your notes, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now that verse specifically goes with those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. But if you study the Beatitudes, consistently at the back portion of the Beatitude, he says something like, "You're sons of God. You'll inherit heaven." He consistently is talking about reward if you obey God. So that's why we're going back, and I want to say, once again, the words that Jesus is teaching as we get to lay up treasure in heaven, look back at the Beatitudes. Are you, is your heart, are you asking God for your heart to be like the Beatitudes? Because one, it starts there, but God is going to reward us if we do those things. If we ask God to change our hearts, he says he's going to reward us. So a conclusion I just wanted to draw from that section is rewards and all the blessings of the kingdom are for those who humble their very attitudes of the heart and their spirit in obedience. And God says, if you will do that, I'm going to reward you. So he keeps going further forward. And as we look at the heart, if the heart changes, then actions happen. And Jesus teaches some ethical teaching spiritually starts from within and then it moves to action. And here's what he says in 5:19. Before he gets into ethical teaching, Jesus said this, "Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So what's a conclusion we can draw there? He says, God will reward, call you the greatest in the kingdom. He will reward those who take serious Jesus' teaching of the Bible. Those who not only practice Jesus' teaching, but teach others. Disciples make disciples. That's the core, the crux, the purpose of church is to disciple, to teach Jesus' teaching. It's the purpose of your marriage and you have a kid and God wants you to train up that kid to love Jesus, to love Jesus' words. Well, it's beyond just your family. That's what we're supposed to do with relationships in our life. And Jesus says, if you take serious my teaching and you teach others, you take it so serious not only that you do it, but you teach others to do it, Jesus said you'll be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That's reward talk, isn't it? Great in the kingdom of heaven, that's reward talk. And then he goes on and he lists anger, lust, divorce, oaths, retaliation, loving one's enemies. And as I have said throughout our series, he's really dealing with anger, lust, unfaithfulness to a vow, integrity, non-retaliation, and obviously love. And so it's important that we recognize, too, another conclusion is, as has already been stated, Jesus will reward those who put into action his ethical teaching. It begins with the heart. It transforms into ethical teaching. But listen to this. I want to show you something. Think about this. Think about the merciful. One of Jesus' ethical teaching is that we're supposed to love our enemies and we're supposed to love those who persecute us, pray for those who persecute us. Well, if you don't have a merciful heart, are you going to do that? No. So you see how your heart has to change before you can even do the ethical teaching of Jesus? What about pure in heart? Jesus says, pure in heart. Well, then he teaches about lust and divorce. Well, if you don't have purity of heart, lust, who wants to hear that ethical teaching? Who wants to hear about divorce? And so much a part of divorce has to do with purity of heart. So it starts with purity of heart before you even get to the action. Furthermore, you can look at the peacemakers, loving one's enemies. How in the world are you going to love one's enemies if you don't have a heart of peace with a desire to make peace? So again, I want to reiterate, you start with the heart, then it moves to action, and God says, I'm going to reward you for all of this. If you are obedient with my teaching, I am going to reward you, and as I taught through the series, he's going to reward you now practically, and as I think he says in the conclusion at the end, he's going to reward you as well, beyond just practically, but in eternity. So we also see this. Jesus is teaching on spiritual disciplines. The last three sermons, we talked about giving, fasting, and praying. I got it out of order, but those three things. Devotion with the right heart motives. And look what he said after all of those. Look what he says in verse 4, 6, and 18. So that your giving may be in secret, and if we obey and we give and not the purpose to be seen by others or impress others, we give with the purpose to please God. What does he say? And your Father who sees in secret will what? Reward you. Is that reward talk? Yeah. Look at this, verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Verse 18. And that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So a conclusion I know we can draw here is God will reward our faithful, disciplined living. So yeah, Ben, why did you just go through all that? You just, all these sermons. Because guys, every single lesson that we have gone through for the last 21 weeks, all of Jesus' teaching from the heart issues to the ethical teaching to the disciplined life that he's calling us to live, we have a God that says, if you do this, I'm going to reward you. How astonishing is that, right? If you pursue an intimacy with you, I'm going to reward you. That's amazing. If you give back and not do anything out of duty, but you give because your heart is full of giving, I'm going to reward you. If you live and you ask me to change your heart, which will change your entire life and every relationship, if you let the Spirit of God change your heart, and God says, if you do that, I'm going to reward you now and in eternity. That's our God. Guys, I don't know how much time you spent in other religions. That's not how other religions work. Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness, you know, you do things to earn heaven, right? I mean, Muhammad doesn't even know if he's in heaven. And he has some crazy teachings. But you earn reward for heaven. Our God says, I paid the penalty on the cross, which is what we just celebrated. You are going to heaven based on what I did for you. But if you live for me, earn reward for heaven, not earn your way into heaven. Wow. So we should be encouraged. Every bit of Jesus' teaching is to help us focus on, if we're obedient, that you can also earn reward for heaven, and it will change your life. That's the God we serve. So I'm taking a step back because I feel like as we go forward in that sermon, you have to have that in mind. You have to have the mentality that everything we've just trucked through for the last 21 weeks, Jesus consistently, as a theme, consistently said, do this and I will reward you. That's been the theme of Jesus' ending of the teaching, is I will reward you consistently. Now we get into a new section, and there's three new imperatives, three new commands that he gives us. Here's the first one we're going to cover this week. The second one we're going to cover next week, and then we'll be at Easter. Here's what the first one says. Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, found in verse 20. And I'm lumping the negative command as well. Do not lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. And so that's what we're focusing on today. Then he says, and we're on page 2 now, do not be anxious for three times, verse 25 says, do not be anxious about your life. Do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? And do not be anxious about tomorrow. That's what we're going to study next week. And by the way, I struggle with anxiety. So I'm going to be preaching to myself the whole week about this problem coming up. So if you think you struggle with anxiety, so do I. We're on the same page there. And then finally, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I would say to you, this imperative, though it's found in verse 33, it matters for today. It matters for today's sermon. The third imperative, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's what you're doing. Listen, folks, when you go forward and you want your heart to change, you want to obey Jesus' ethical teaching, when you want to be devoted to God and led by the Holy Spirit, you are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what you're doing. That's what it means to follow God. And so as we go forward, I want to say here's an important sermon point for us today. All of our preceding conclusions is very much a part of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So this is a great portion in our passage for you to say, okay, look at all those 20 other sermons. Are we doing that? Because listen, we're going to talk about living up and reward in heaven and making that your priority. Well, he's just gone through lots of elements of teaching, and one of the most important things is obedience. So what areas of our heart do we still need to work towards? What ethical area of Jesus' teaching do we still need to wrestle with? What areas of devotion do we still need to work on to become more devoted in our following of God? Because it's seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other sermons play a part in this teaching as we continue. So it's a great follow-up and having us think about that. And so seeking the kingdom in a sense means treasuring God and freeing yourself from the drag of earth. One of the elements of this text that we're reading has to do with money. And he goes back to money. And he's going to do this. I want you to do this with me. If you have time, turn to Proverbs 30, verse 8. Now, this isn't going to be behind me. This was a Saturday thing. Those who don't know, I go read Saturday. I add things to the sermon. Look at Proverbs 30, 8. He says this. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needed for me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Why would he say that? He would say that because here's the deal. If you're rich, you're very quickly, often, you might run away from God. You think, no, that's not true. Let me tell you a story of the Old Testament. Here's a story. Here's the theme. If you haven't read much of the Old Testament, the prophets, let me sum it up for you. They get successful. They do good, and they do good. And then what happens is they get prosperous, and you know what happens? They start rejecting God. They start worshiping other gods. They forget about God. That's the ebb and flow of the entire Old Testament. And then God smites them, some big old comes down with judgment, and then all of a sudden the faithful rise up and they start changing because times are hard, everything's different. And what happens? They start being faithful again. And then what happens? They get prosperous again. And as they get prosperous, guess what happens again? They forget God. So a proverb is a wisdom, and he's saying wisely, God, don't make me rich. Because if you make me rich, I'm afraid I'm going to do the history of the whole Old Testament. I'm going to start forgetting about you. And he says that as a genuine fear. But what's the other alternative? If you're really poor and you're stealing and you're a thief, well, then you're sinning. So he's like, I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be rich. And that's just a statement. And I want to say this as well. If you look through Luke's gospel, one of the beauties of all the gospels is they have different kind of trends through them. Luke's gospel is a hard gospel because he hits on rich people a lot. That's the passage where you're going to hear it's difficult for a rich person to go to heaven. And it's all the same type of theme. And so listen, Jesus knows that. So we go back to our text and he says at the very bottom, no one can serve two masters. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So a big portion of what Jesus is talking about, laying up treasure in heaven, he says, do not prioritize the materialistic mentality of this life. Prioritize heaven, rewards in heaven. And so I would say to you, what does that look like for you? What does it look like for you to treasure God, to treasure his kingdom? That's when I would say, when we go back to some of the different lessons we've studied, when you look at giving, if you say, I can't give to God, the truth is, we all know we can give to God. We choose not to give to God. We can. And Jesus says, don't get caught up in so much money for myself. I have to have this. Be faithful. Give to God. Give. And he would say, the same as ethical teaching is in your life, focus on being who God's called you to be in regards to divorce and regards to marriage and all those different elements. So there's very much a money element of laying up treasure to heaven. I would be falsely preaching this text if I didn't tell you, because I do think a big portion of what he's saying about laying up treasure in heaven, he's saying don't earn and make money your master. Make money the opportunity for God's kingdom, not your master. And listen, folks, money can do that. And I think every time we convince ourselves, I can't give, whether that's someone poor in your life or someone comes by and has a need and you can meet it and you convince yourself, I can't give, you need to know that's coming from the place that you can't give because you're choosing to say, I don't want to give my money away. And it's become a master. And so what Jesus is saying, lay up treasure in heaven. Get into a habit of not being owned by your money. Give. Be willing to give. Don't let it master and lord over you. Because when you do that, you're laying up reward for heaven. You're focused on, the earth instead of the eternal. And Jesus says, focus on the eternal. And so this text, listen, it has very much to do with money. That's why he goes back to it, and he says at the very bottom, you cannot serve God and you cannot serve money. So a very practical implication of this text is, are you controlled? Is there an element of your life that money is a big issue for you? It's an idol in your life. Let me say, how would you know is money an issue? Is it the thing you wake up thinking about? Is it the thing you can't stop thinking about when you go to sleep? When you watch TV shows, when you hear people talk about money, are you thinking, I wish I had this? My value in my life is not as valuable as I want it to be because I don't have this or this other thing I wish I had. Do you think about money all the time? Do you think about things all the time? If that's it, you might have the issue of, is money a master over you? You need to think about that. And Jesus says, do not let money be your master. Focus on rewards in heaven. Be a giver. Be a person that's not afraid to be, that recognizes I'm mastered. And then he says this too, principle to live by. The fruit of trusting Jesus as our Lord and Savior and treasure is laying up treasure in heaven and on earth. It's a radical freedom from earthly things and earthly security with a joyful pursuit of God and his righteousness as our treasure. I want to say this to you. As we go through the ethical teachings, as we went through a whole sermon series on the attitudes, as we talked about giving and fasting and praying, when you hear Jesus teaching these things, do you feel freed up or do you feel bogged down? That's a genuine question only you can answer. When you hear Jesus talk about, say, it's an issue in your life, whether it be lust or whether it be a divorce or whether it be an issue of anger, do you feel bogged down by Jesus' teaching or you feel radically free? Because Jesus came to free us, listen, from what? Mastery of the flesh. When we have anger issues, when we have bitterness issues, we are actually slaves in regards to those areas. And Jesus came to teach us. He said, how do you deal with this? You change your heart. You ask God to change your heart, and then you can obey biblically what it looks like to not be angry. So you say, I've got an anger problem, and he says, pray for your enemy. You're praying for your enemy for who? For them or for you? I would say, first of all, for you. You're asking God to free you. And so guys, as we look at treasuring up, living in such a way to treasure up reward in heaven, do you have a joyful pursuit of God and his righteousness, or do you feel bogged down by Jesus' teaching? The Sermon on the Mount, I mentioned it, you've probably seen me a couple times as teaching the sermon series, that I had literal fear on me. Why? Because divorce is a hard subject to talk about in modern day culture. Lust is a very difficult thing to talk about in any church, not just our church, any church in a modern day culture. It just is. It's big issues in our culture. But do we feel freed up by Jesus' teaching? Do we feel judged? Do we feel bogged down? Do we feel far from God? And I want to say to you, as we look in back and we review all of the sermon series, do we feel an actual joyful pursuit after righteousness, or do we feel bogged down? So I ask you that, because what Jesus is after is saying, you need to have a great joy in following God and being righteous. But whenever we don't like what Jesus is teaching, when we don't want to apply it, when it bothers us, when it's hard to hear, Jesus is revealing there's a slavery going on. When Jesus teaches on anger and you have anger and you're like, I don't want to hear that preacher. I don't like him. I'm disregarding it. There's something going on. And Jesus says, listen, start focusing on laying up treasure in heaven, which means start dealing with the heart issue. Stop ignoring the anger that God's Holy Spirit maybe is revealing to you and saying, this is something you have to start dealing with. And if you don't, you're going to be in slavery and you really don't have a joyful pursuit of following righteousness. And I would say you're in danger of focusing on earth rather than reward in heaven. So there's two big elements of this teaching. One is practically focusing on God's righteousness, becoming more like him. But then there's also a monetary issue. He's dealing with both. Do you have slavery to money? And listen, he says over and over, it's a very real possibility that if you get prosperous, you can forget God. I mean, here's the thing. Here's the funny thing. I think the richer people get, they may proportionally give less the richer they give in terms of proportions of their resources because they think, I have a lot of money, so I'm not going to give as much because I've got a lot of money. It really happens. I have some friends and I've talked with, and that's a norm that happens. Because the more you make is the more it's mine. I have a lot of money. I'm successful. And so, guys, I would say to you, in regards to finances, do you have a possibility of a little bit of slavery? Or do you view your money as an opportunity for God's kingdom? If we don't view our resources that God's give us for as an opportunity for his kingdom, then we may have a slavery issue. If when we're talking about the ethical teachings, and when we're talking about the fruit and the God wants to change our hearts, when we're talking about disciplined living, all the things we've been talking about for 20 weeks, if we don't get a joy for following the righteousness of God's teaching, there may be a chance that somewhere in there, there's a slavery. And that's what I think this text, more than anything, is talking about. Where in the elements of living for Jesus and where in the elements of our money are we possibly enslaved? Now, here's the hard part, guys. I can't answer that for you. If we sat down in a counseling meeting, we really talked about things, I might be able to do so, but I really can't from here. So here's why I wanted to do with this sermon. That's why I spent so much time talking about the past. In an area of your heart in regards to the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, when we look at the ethical teachings that we went through, I just printed them, I put them on your notes. You can go back to our page where you can find all my notes on all those 20 sermons. You can look at giving and fasting and praying and go back and look at those. Where is the element of those things we've talked about, the 20 areas? Where is the area that there's a possibility that I'm still not really in joyful pursuit in righteousness? Where is the one or two or three or a few of the areas that I don't really have this joyful pursuit based on this teaching? And I would say to you, this is a great time because what Jesus is teaching is live for the Lord in heaven. Throughout the consistent series, God has said over and over, if you live for this, if you do this, if you make it a joyful pursuit, you are laying up treasure in heaven when you do this. What an amazing thing that our God says, as we're faithful, he rewards us. But when we're not faithful and we pick and choose, listen, here's what happens. Sometimes we pick and choose what we want to be faithful with. But see, that's the problem with that is usually you're not unfaithful in all areas. You're unfaithful in some areas, and some areas you're doing good. So where's the area that, hey, maybe this, I need to revisit something that's been taught, something that I need to think through, something that I need to talk about, because laying up treasure in heaven means not ignoring the areas that Jesus has asked us to really seriously deal with. And so those are the two things, as I see, lay up treasure in heaven. It's a reminder of throughout the sermon series, all the things we've talked about, Jesus has consistently said, when you do these things, I will reward you in heaven. Now, I could easily just say, hey, encourage that, and that is a good thing. But what might happen and what he's talking about is there's an ability to get enslaved. So what area might you need to, would you say, I don't have a joyful pursuit in this element of what Jesus taught? There's an area of my heart, I know that I'm not a peacemaker. I know I'm not a person right now who hunger and thirsts after righteousness. I know that I'm not one that would pray for someone who persecutes me. I don't know where God might press on your heart, but folks, laying up treasure in heaven means not picking and choosing what of Jesus' teaching we accept, but saying the area where God maybe digged at us the most, this is a great opportunity to say, go back to that. We taught on it. Have you changed? Has God changed anything in regards to some of those sermons that maybe, man, they hit you, and God was working on it? Because what I want to encourage you with today is God does reward us for obedience. But we have to be obedient. We have to acknowledge the change God wants. And that's how we have a pursuit of laying up, making a wise thing, pursuing, laying up treasure in heaven. God says you have to deal with the finances, but God says you also have to obey. So do you, here's the question, have a joyful pursuit of following God after his righteousness, his teachings, what he's saying? And do you possibly have an area of your heart that you're mastered by your money? You don't want to give. You don't want to talk about giving. You get tired if the pastor ever talks about it. Is there a possibility that that's there too? Jesus is teaching us. He's prioritizing gaining reward in heaven far above focusing on rewards and treasure on this earth. So that means we have to make a focus on changing and really pursuing him. We don't have much time. But if you have time on your own, read these two texts, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, and 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 15. In both of these texts, Paul clearly says to us, there is reward in heaven. And I'll remind you of a story. I remember being a young person at Sagemont. I was a very, very new Christian. I was sitting under a man named David who was teaching me the Bible. And one of the big disagreement I had with him is I asked him, could you earn reward in heaven? Like, should you joyfully pursue earning reward in heaven? And he said, no, you shouldn't. And I do believe he's wrong. I do believe Jesus teaches us consistently an actual some sort, and you say, well, what kind of reward is there going to be? I don't know, and it'd be better for us to talk off the cuff rather than on a stage, because the Bible kind of leaves it ambiguous. It doesn't really answer it totally. I think there's some areas that might point us in a direction, but I'm not going to preach that because I can't tell you exactly where it was that I would have a conclusion there. But I would say this, I find it very clear that Jesus tells us live for the reward in heaven. Clearly, Paul believed that it's almost one of these texts, it's almost as if you had a refinery going. Some of the things we put in is going to be wood and hay, and some of the things is going to be gold, and it's going to be pure. And when it goes into the fiery, judgment of God, and one day when we stand before God, we're not going to be judged on did we get in heaven because we did good things, but we will be judged for what we did for the kingdom. We will. And there's going to be some sort of judgment in which our life and our pursuit of his righteousness and our pursuit of being faithful, that we are going to have some sort of judgment there. And listen, Paul says it to encourage us, live for reward, and that's why what Jesus is teaching is the wisest thing you may ever hear. Because listen, if we don't make Jesus the focus and the priority, you're going to stand for God one day, and what he says in 1 Corinthians, some people are going to get into heaven, and they were saved, but they didn't live for anything else. There's a lot of people, listen, they may come to church every Sunday, they love God, but there's not really much happening. They're not focusing, seeking first the kingdom of God. They just want God as part of their life. They don't want to go to hell, so they come. But it's not seeking first the kingdom. Well, Jesus is teaching us, seek first the kingdom and my righteousness. That's what he teaches us. And he says, when you do that, you're earning up reward for heaven. So I say, go look at those texts. Think about it for yourself. But I clearly believe that there is reward for faithful living. Now, some of us, listen, we can look at that and say, hey, well, God is going to reward you based on your circumstances. Some of you, listen, you didn't know God, you were far from God, and God got a hold of you later in life. Maybe some of you were in church from the get-go. But guys, God is going to judge our faithfulness in regards to seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. Now, we just spent 21 sermons talking about righteousness and pursuing God and God changing us. So I revisit. What area might God work on your heart there? And then we revisit the finances. Are we material? Are we focused on material? Is this world and the treasures of this world the biggest focus? And we'd have to revisit that as well. We don't want to be mastered by money. And so I ask you to think through these things on your own and ask God, where am I at? Because the wisest words that you may ever hear is Jesus came and he said, make my kingdom your greatest pursuit because there is reward in heaven. That's why I consistently look through our sermon series over and over. He says, reward, 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 reward. So what are we living for? Is Jesus' rewards in heaven, is that something you're passionate about earning? Yeah, we may be focused right now on having retirement and big houses or new cars, all these different things. But Jesus says, focus on my kingdom and my righteousness and I'll reward you. Make that your center goal. Do we have God's kingdom and righteousness as the center of our life? And Jesus' wise words is, when you do that, you're earning up reward in heaven, which, by the way, things on this earth can be stolen. My wife's wedding ring, it got stolen. It did. And that was really awful. But you know what? Living for reward in heaven, there is no thief that's breaking in to take anything from what I earn as I seek first his kingdom and righteousness. So he says, that's the wisest pursuit of your life. As you pursue that, God is going to reward you. Well, let me ask you this last thing and we're going to finish. Do you believe you're going to resurrect one day? Do you believe you have an eternal life with God and you're going to resurrect one day? Well, just as certain as you are on that, I mean, we're here worshiping because he died and we believe one day we all know we're going to die. And Jesus says, just as much as I'm telling you, resurrection happened and we have our hope in that. Well, if you have your hope in that, then you ought to take Jesus' words very serious. If you believe he resurrected and your hope is he's resurrecting one day, then the wisest words Jesus could ever say to you is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because as you pursue that and you're pursuing laying up treasure in heaven, you're going to have an amazing inheritance that you've earned because you've pursued it. You've made that a goal. So yes, there's reward tangibly right now for your life. You let God, you walk after God. You let him change areas of lust in your life. You let God change areas of anger in your life. You let God change areas of your heart so he can change your entire relationships. There is absolutely tangible goals to obeying God. It changes every bit of your relationship. But there's also a goal of, I do this also for the purpose of God says he's going to reward me in heaven. Listen, folks, he said over and over, in secret, if you do this in secret, I will reward you. Well, yeah, you could walk around praying and trying to get everyone to look at you, think you're really holy and righteous, or you could obey God, do it in secret. Don't tell everybody about your righteousness when they're not around. And God says, I'm going to reward you for that. I'm going to reward you for that faithful living. Well, do you believe he's going to resurrect you one day? As y'all's conclusion is yes, well, you should also obey and think very seriously about laying up treasure in heaven. This earth is temporary. Any one of us can go at any time. And Jesus says, get busy seeking first my kingdom and my righteousness, and I will reward you. Let me pray, and we'll leave from here. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the reminder today that throughout the sermon series, you have said you will be with us and that you will reward us for obeying you. And God, I pray that we would seek very seriously, taking very serious your teaching with the pursuit of knowing that not only, God, are you teaching us this to obey, but God, you tell us over and over that you will reward us for obeying. So God, I pray that our people in this congregation, just as myself, that I would get motivated by maybe the wisest words I've ever heard. That I'd be motivated, just as I'm motivated to save for retirement, that I would be motivated to live out, God, your teaching in such a way that I get tired. I run the race as to win it, as Paul would say. Let us run the race as to win it and not just make following your words just a second priority. God, let it be the number one priority as we try to wisely live. We love you and we thank you, and it's your name we pray. Amen.